Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We are rounding the corner to Thanksgiving. You might already be busy with plans to go shopping for that recipe you want to try, or maybe you're going to have a few Friendsgiving events and are starting to think about what to bring to the party. Well, if your list involves wine, we have you covered. Every year around the holidays, we like to get an update on the wine industry, what's new, what's changed, and a few suggestions of what to share with family and friends. Wine expert and New York Times best-selling author Rick Cushman joins us yet again today. He has some great suggestions and tips for holiday parties. He can also help us get out of our comfort zones a little bit when it comes to wine and, of course, share an outlook for California wines in the years to come. Hey, Rick, we're back again.
Happy early Thanksgiving, Vicky. You're right. Let's get in the mood. You were talking about some very serious subjects, and I think we need to find, everybody needs to find a little joy in their lives, too, to cope.
Yes, I completely agree with that. We are almost at the end of 2023. I mean, how did this harvest look? How were the wines this year?
Well, you know, every year about this time we talk, and every year I say this is a weird year. But this year, it was a good weird year. You know, and it's true of pretty much every ag product. You know, it was a late start, as we all know, because it rained all the way into late spring. And then there was, in California, about the only place on earth, it was a relatively cool summer. And it never really heat spiked. And so it was a long, slow, late harvest. In fact, it was probably the latest harvest in years, maybe in decades. Maybe 2011 was pretty close, too. But the And what that means, and this is why, you know, first thing to remember, although, you know, whoever really shops for vintage unless you're really buying elite wines, but 2023 will be a good vintage. And because they got a lot of hang time, and hang time rocks. What hang time means is that the grapes stay out there and they grow, and it's really true of all fruits. They grow evenly and smoothly, and the sugars don't spike. And I know when you go wine tasting and they always talk about the bricks and, you know, it's a different word for sugar. But what it is is the sugar levels determines when they pick. So sometimes the rest of the grape's maturity in terms of developing flavors are not ready, but the sugars are high and they can't wait. And so then they have to pick. Like last year, we had that giant heat spike in September. And if you remember, and so a lot of folks were rushing to pick because all of a sudden, you know, the grapes needed to get off the vine. This year, it's been the opposite of a problem. In some cases, they're working to get them ripe even now. There's still some out there.
Wow. So is harvesting still taking place for some varietals in some parts of the state?
There are a few, you know, and I haven't talked to anybody in the last, I'll call it 8 or 10 days, but in the middle of last week, I talked to a couple of friends out in Napa and one up in the foothills, and the general sense was maybe 5 to 10% of the grapes are still out there. You know, the late ripening grapes are grapes, you know, from our area like Zin and Petite Syrah and Syrah Cabernet out in Napa. You know, they tend, those grapes that are big, dark, heavy reds tend to ripen late. And because it has been so mellow, that's been really good. Downside, our friend rain. And, you know, luckily so far, although this last storm might not have been great and there's more coming, but because it was pretty strong on the coast, particularly the north coast, the rain makes a couple problems. One, they could get some rot. You know, the bunches are tight. Second, it makes it difficult to get in the fields. You know, when they're picking, even when they're picking by hand, they have these little gondolas on tractors that go behind where they're putting the grapes in. So, and it's muddy in there and all kinds of other stuff. And so, you know, it makes it for a slow pick. Most are off, but I'm sure there's some wineries out there still even tonight, Jay, going, man, would this rain just hold up so I can get everything out?
So this year was weird, but in a good way. And that's great to hear in November. But I would imagine, you know, throughout the year, it might have been kind of nerve-wracking for some winemakers not knowing, you know, what was going to happen, what the result was going to be.
Yes, yes. It's kind of like a first or second date with somebody you really, really like, and you go, what's going to go wrong? Well, and that's kind of how it was going all year. They're going, okay, every year there's been something crazy. You know, my date suddenly decided, I don't know, it's time to give me a Ferrari or something. But so everybody was waiting for the heat spike or the early storm or the fires, which also didn't come. And that has also been a problem in recent vintages. So, you know, what that's going to do is it's going to kind of, the wine supply has been interesting lately. you know, there's, and we've talked about this, there's a bit of an oversupply as people start to drink many other things, and there was a lot of grapes planted. Last couple vintages have been rather small, a little bit smaller than average. This one will probably be a little larger than average, maybe not huge. So there will be a lot of it out there. But that's some other nervousness too. So if you're an individual winery and you go, oh, good, I got a lot of my wine. But if you're looking at the market, you're going, oh, wait, I have a lot of my wine. Now I have to sell it into a market that's got a little less room for me. And so that, you know, farming any product, you know, and winemaking is fundamentally farming. You know, God bless those folks. It is really hard.
You know, I think about, you know, competing beverages. You know, there's obviously, you know, you have craft beer, you have like sours, seltzers, all that stuff. But also, I do think, at least anecdotally from like my friends, there's a growing number of people like teetotalers, like they're not drinking, doing kind of like the mocktails.
Yes, yes, yes. There's this new sort of low alcohol, anti-alcohol movements, maybe not the way to say it, but just this, you know, thing going on. Folks are deciding on their own or together, you know, whether it's dry January or just, you know, dialing back. And so there are wineries that are making lower alcohol wines. Problem is that alcohol in a wine actually adds some structure. So some of those low alcohol wines, maybe not so great. Whites, sparkling wines actually are lower alcohol too. But yes, you are right. You know, people are drinking less. I feel so those of us who drink wine need have responsibility to drink more wine.
And responsibly. When it comes to the 20
and responsibly.
Yes. When it comes to the 2023 vintage, before we get to some recommendations for Thanksgiving, when will we be able to buy the bottle, pop it open, and have a glass? How long does that take?
Well, for the whites, you could be seeing some of them even as soon as next summer, you know, spring, summer. Some of the wines that don't get much aging, like Sauvignon Blanc, some of them will be popping out now. You know, those did get, maybe some got picked in August. Reds are for anything from a year, more likely 18 months. Yeah, you know, and then depending on how they age, and wines like Cab sometimes get a lot of aging, so 2 to 3 or 4 years. But you know, think the red's going to be 18 months, the white's this time next year. And so, you know, that's what you're drinking right now is, if you look on the shelves, there's a lot of 2022 Chard and white wines out there.
You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio, and we're talking with Rick Cushman, the wine expert and New York Times best-selling author, about this year's harvest. And now we're just going to talk about the holidays, because typically for some people who do drink wine, they do bring wine to a party, or they want to serve it with a lot of friends. Is this the time to kind of like splurge and experiment and try different things?
Well, yes and no. So I say this every year. First off, the holidays are mostly about celebrating. So if you like celebrating about different and unique and interesting wines, go for it. But don't sweat it. I got to go sideways for one of the things that just annoys me enormously. You've heard me go through this rant before, which is how so many, like, whether it's some wine writers or some psalms or whomever, make it so darn complicated. You know, and it's not. I mean, you know, the fundamental rule of wine is get wines you like, get food you like. Go for it.
When it comes, and I agree, when it comes to some of the coverage or the journalism surrounding like wine and picks, it can feel kind of like intimidating.
Yeah, because I've never understood that. And meanwhile, the industry is losing wine drinkers, and the answer is, oh, let's scare people even more. I do like that some people say, what we need to do is educate people more. Right. Heck of a business model when you need to educate your consumer before they can buy your product. How about we do it the other way around? How about we make our product accessible? And, you know, the other thing, it's sort of funny. I think that a lot of those folks out there feel like they need to show how sophisticated they are. But it isn't about that. And having said that, now that there are some really fun things. And as you said, if you're going to enjoy a bottle you've been saving, a wine you really like, now, man, go for it, right? Once again, make it a wine that you like. And we can go through some pairings in just a sec. But, you know, it really is. And the other thing is, you know, Thanksgiving, there's wine writers wringing their hands about how difficult a pairing it is because there's so many foods. Well, or there's so many foods. how easy is this? It's going to be something that's going to match your wine.
Yeah. I mean, so, okay. So if you're going to someone's house, because I'm thinking about like appetizer sides, there's a lot of different flavors going on for Thanksgiving. You know, is there like an easy go-to choice to bring where it's kind of like a common denominator and it'll apply throughout the evening? Or should you think about, oh, I want to bring something, you know, for the appetizers. I want to bring something, you know, for the pumpkin pie. Or is there something that will apply to all meals?
Well, I say yes, although the pumpkin pie is a slightly different subject.
Tricky.
We'll get there. Yeah, yeah. But for everything else, but really my first suggestion, and is this is going to last until January 1st, including January 1st, bring some kind of sparkling. Why? Because they're delicious and they're fun and they're celebratory. And when you bring one and you give it to your hosts, they say, oh, what a cool thing to bring. And so, you know, it's just, and sparkling wine goes with all kinds of foods. And, you know, so if there's any sparklings that you like, they don't have to be super expensive, but sparkling is always a good place to start. You know, and then once it starts to get into, you know, whether whites or reds, it starts to get a tad more complicated. So once again, I say for starters, like bring something that matters to you or that may matter to them. It's a place you've been, a place they've been, you know, something like that. And then, but if you want a pair, then you start thinking about it. So should we go through some pairings?
Yeah. Yeah. So let's start with appetizers. Let's just kind of like run through the meal. I mean, I'm thinking of like deviled eggs or a charcuterie platter, you know, lots of dips. Like what should you drink for appetizers?
Well, once again, the two caveats are A, sparkling is going to go with all this stuff, and B, whatever you like. But if you are trying to pair, so lighter for apps, lighter whites. Oh, rosés. Once again, rosé is another really fun wine to bring because now everybody loves rosés, and there's plenty of good ones out there, and they're relatively inexpensive. And because it's Thanksgiving, can I suggest you get an American one, even though there are some brilliant French rosés, and not for a high price. But rosé will go with a lot. Lots of Sauvignon Blancs are another wines that go with a lot, though there are lovers and haters. And same thing for lighter Chardonnays. You know, Chardonnay, the cool kids don't want to like Chardonnay. It's still the most popular white grape on earth. Thank you. And then if you also like Rieslings, Rieslings are terrific with a lot of foods, and they're really good as with the foods with a little richness and maybe a little sweetness, because Rieslings have some richness and sweetness to them too.
When it comes to the meal, so there's going to be sides, there's going to be turkey. Can you have white or red? I mean, can you, because some people just, you know, they have a preference, or should you just kind of stick to one?
Yes. Well, you know, one of the fun things about a big table is if there's a lot of wines open, I suggest trying a little this, a little of that. By the way, that's a downside if you have a really special wine and you've got, you know, a lot of people at your table, maybe half of them might not even get around to it, or you might not get to taste it. But so just keep that in mind. But the whites, you know, some of those whites we talked about, and Riesling and Sauvignon Blanc go with a lot of the foods. And then, but I think once you start to get in the middle with Chardonnay, go for the richer ones. So those folks out there that love buttery Chardonnay, and frankly, I'm one of them, then, and don't let the cool kids tell you not to drink them. It will go so well with so many of the richer foods on your Thanksgiving table, you know, because there's, you know, whether it's the turkey, which is the, you know, tend to have a gravy, or whether it's the stuffing, or whether it's the richer foods, or whether you're doing something entirely different, like we're doing in my house. And so a richer buttery Chardonnay will rock. But in the reds, there's a go-to wine for a lot of the Thanksgiving foods, which is Pinot Noir. Again, one of my faves. But I know some people, including a person I am married to, that is not thrilled with Pinot Noir. So maybe that's not your only one. But then you go in the other direction, and our friends in the foothills and in Lodi know this wine well, which is, of course, Zinfandel. Zin is a big, rich, happy wine. It's a happy wine. And it's the time of year to drink Zin with stuff. But there are more, you know. And again, once our foothills and then Lodi, foothills maybe even more so, make like great Barbera that goes with Thanksgiving. Theirs is a little richer. It's like folks who've had Italian Barberas are going to be a little lighter and brighter. California Foothill Barbera has a little bit of richness to it. And Grenache is another one. If you see it and you run across it, great with all these foods. The one caution is Cabernet, you know, the King of Reds, the most popular red wine, may not be great. And if you like it, drink it. But, you know, because it's bigger and it has bigger tannins, it may be a little more difficult to pair with some of the foods. You think about yams, for example, if you're doing yams and cab, that's probably not going to go so well because there's a sweetness to the yams.
Okay, finally, you know, we only got a couple minutes left. Dessert, it can be a little tricky, right? There's a lot of different sweet flavors going on. What do you recommend?
Yes, we do this every holiday where there's sweetness involved. Is make sure your wine really is sweeter than your dessert. So those dessert wines, whether it's Porch or any of those Foothill grapes that are late harvest or Lodi or anywhere, those rock. But if, you know, and also sparkling wine because it's a clean palate. But then if you like red with chocolate, go for it. I think it's a bad pairing because what happens is there's actually acid in wine and people don't realize that. You don't think about wine as acid. But, you know, my example is we don't think about orange juice having acid until you brush your teeth, then have your orange juice. And so the sweetness in dessert or in chocolate will make your wine taste a little sour. But if it's your choice this time of year, I say go for it.
What are you going to be serving for Thanksgiving? That's my last question.
Well, this is fun. So we have been lately doing this sort of gathering of strays. Last year went to dinner. This year we're sort of gathering in our house. We're going to have all kinds of stuff. I'll make some pot stickers. We're going to have a lot of different apps. We are going to have some turkey, but it's going to be turkey sausage. You know, so we're doing the fun buffet. There'll be some fish, you know. What I like about what we're doing, and this goes back to our Thanksgiving pairings, is there's going to be something for every taste and something for every wine. So I get to open a whole bunch of wines that I like. And really, Wei, if you are hosting, I might add that that's really kind of a cool thing, too. So when you're hosting a party, one way to think about it is you've got a whole bunch of guests in your house and you want them to be happy. But make sure you've opened something for yourself, too, because I think that's one of the things that make meals and then wine sharing great is to tell people, I really love this wine. Try it. You know, I think that makes it fun. And frankly, we know from experience that when people tell people wine's good, they're going to like it.
Yep.
And if you really want them to like it, tell them it's expensive.
Rick, thank you so much. It's always great to have you. It's always a treat.
Always a treat.
And happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And if you miss any of Rick's picks in this conversation, it's going to be posted shortly after 10 a.m. on our Insight page. So you can go ahead and download it and get your right pairings, which really the options are endless for your holidays. And that is it for Insight. You can learn about all of our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, you can always email us at insight@capradio.org. Thank you to producer Sarit Lashinsky, managing editor Arm Sarkissian. Our digital producer is Chris Feltz. Insight's technical director and engineer is Mark Jones, and our show music is produced by Adrian Gilmore. I'm Vicky Gonzalez. We are taking the week off for the Thanksgiving break. We will catch you back here after the holiday. Enjoy.